the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And welcome inside the golf club. It's a beautiful, breezy Saturday, March 31st. Yes, it's windy. It's one of those days if you put gel in your hair, you go outside, you're going to look like a spiky person. There's no way you're going to keep your hair in place. It's a four-club day, okay? So just get ready for it. And if you need a demo day, yes, at 9 o'clock this morning at Ko'olina, TaylorMade will have everything you want to see right now. 9 o'clock, Ko'olina is the place to be. We're starting off this morning with Peter Kessler. That's right, right after this. These people make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Okay, the first time I met Peter Kessler overlooking the Oahu Country Club, I was sitting just enjoying the Manoa Cup, talking with Peter Kessler about the perfect club. And then he became this fantastic radio show host. Welcome to the show, Peter Kessler. I'm hoping Mr. Kessler is still there. I know he's on the line. Good morning, Peter. We're having some technical difficulties. Just one moment, please. The engineer is trying to sort it all out. He's an amazing person. For 7 years, he had this great show on Sirius. Peter Kessler is our first guest, and we're going to talk to him about what's coming up next. And he's very optimistic because, after all, if you've had this many incarnations in your life, there can only be something wonderful coming. Good morning, Peter. Nope. We don't have Peter, so we're just going to have to figure out the board and go with it. This is a great day. We've got the first major of the year, right? Okay, the Kraft Nabisco with Yanni Sen. Of course, she is in the lead. Yesterday, Lindsay Wright was amazing. She's an amazing woman just to begin with. I don't know this for sure. I've just heard that she sometimes suffers from depression, and she was on it. She was on it. And on the 15th, it was probably one of the most difficult holes to play for all of the players. And right there, tied for the lead with Yanni Sen, she had three holes to play. And you just knew the pressure was on her. And it was so good to see Yanni get some competition. But the field is strong. The field is much stronger than you. But then again, there's Yanni Sen, right? Okay, over at the Shell Houston Open, we're all wondering how Ernie Els is going to do. Well, the leaders are at 12 under. Right now, he's at 5 under. The only way he gets into the Masters is, of course, if he wins. And it's very unlikely that the Masters is going to give him an invitation. I believe Peter Kessler is of the opinion that he shouldn't be given an invitation. And invitations usually aren't given out this late in the, well, it's just a week away, right? So who are you picking? Are you picking Tiger Woods? Are you picking, I don't know, let's see now, Luke Donald? He's the number one player in the world. Could it be Rory McIlroy? Maybe that, or I know, Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson, he's the defending champ at Shell today, and not bad. He's kind of in the mix. He shot a 65 for his first round, but of course there was that pesky weather delay. It's amazing how that happens. Thunder and lightning rolls through, drenches the course, and everybody's stuck in the clubhouse wondering when they get to play. And when they do, they're going forever and ever, and it's a very, very long day. He shot a 70. I heard a click. It's possible that Peter Kessler is with us now. Peter?
It's very likely.
You don't know how happy the engineer is right now. Did you hear me going on and on there for a moment?
I did. I also heard Bloomberg News. I heard all sorts of wonderful things.
Yes, we were having some problems there. Okay, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I got to talk to you. I was at the Oahu Country Club. The Manoa Cup was underway. It's a beautiful setting. if you've never been, you've really got to visit. And we were talking about the perfect club. Of course, you were the first person really to come out to market through television, and a huge success. And then became you were a huge success on Golf Channel, and then a huge success in radio, making the turn, your last show. How does it feel?
I'm surprised that I didn't feel bad when the run ended. I was with HBO Sports as their voice from 1990 through 95. I was then on the Golf Channel for 7 years. I did 1,300 shows for them live, produced, hosted, and written by me. And then right after the Golf Channel, somebody came to me with a golf club that we refined and turned into the perfect club. And that was really the first company to market hybrids. And then I did long-form interviews for Golf Magazine for a few years, including the one where Phil Mickelson said the Tiger was the only player good enough to rise above the inferior equipment that he stuck with. And then we started the radio show the week of the U.S. Open in 05, and so we went for another 7 years there. And so in some ways I'm kind of relieved that on Monday morning I don't have to read every single thing that's been written in the entire world on golf before the radio show. But I think it won't be long before I start to do some radio again. And a couple of ideas and a couple of people have nudged me, so I expect to do that again soon.
I'm not surprised. And it seems like every time you do something, it just morphs into something even better than what you were doing before.
That's sweet of you. I heard you mention Ernie.
Yes.
Masters and the invite, and I wouldn't give him an invite. This is not a birthday party for 10-year-olds, you know, and that, you know, maybe do you like that 10-year-old, or maybe don't be as... Don't say you wasn't done. Say you wasn't done. Say you wasn't done. Haven't done anything to justify inclusion. He hasn't won a major in 10 years. He blew a playoff 9 years ago to somebody who wasn't in the same category as he was as a player for the Open Championship. And he's won very few times since. He's very fragile under pressure. He's no good from 5 feet under pressure. He's no good making full swings under pressure on the final holes of golf tournaments. And that's not what you have going. If he had also finished more brilliantly, then he probably would have gotten the nod, but not when you have a one-shot lead and you make a couple of really sloppy bogeys to finish a golf tournament.
Well, he agrees with you. You know, Ernie Els is the first person to say, if I don't make it in playing it in, then I don't deserve to be in.
Well, you know, he doesn't really feel that way. That's just, you know, that's just something that you say. You know, it's like when, you know, Bobby Jones said about Jack Nicklaus, if he the longest player of his time, and he was the smartest player of his time, and was the best putter, just like Jack. So it's just one of those things that you say.
Okay. All right. Well, I think from meeting him, though, he seems to be a very sincere person. And
I agree.
I think that he really does believe that, even though he would like to be probably invited. I think he realizes, you know, taking emotions out of it, that, you know, I've got to put him
sitting at home going, he's going, wait a minute. I just got into the World Golf Hall of Fame.
All right.
I'm one of the best players of my time. There are invitations being given to international players who are not as good as I am and don't have the record that I do. If anybody's going to get one, it should be me. But, all right, I haven't played perfectly lately, and that's what I'll tell people.
All right. Okay. So who's your favorite at the show?
It's really close, I think. You know, I don't like Charles Schwartzel's chances of repeating.
I think he missed the cut.
Well, I'm talking about next week.
Oh, you're talking... Oh, gosh, we always overlook the shell, don't we?
It's like... Well, it's really hard not to in one sense because, you know, it's like taking the play for rehearsals in Hartford, you know, before you open the next week on Broadway. You'd rather see it on Broadway, and next week is Broadway. So, you know, I don't think the winner of this week is important in any way towards what will or won't happen next week. Most of the players who are down in Houston are hitting the kinds of shots that they're going to need next week, even if they're largely inappropriate for some of the particular shots that they have this week. They'll be playing things that they would expect next week. So,
yeah,
you know, so but so for Phil, it's a tune-up. For Charles Schwartzel, it was a tune-up because he missed the cut. And for Ernie, it's a major disappointment because nothing good's going to happen this week. I like Tiger, and I like Rory, and I expect to see them deep in the thing on Sunday afternoon, into the hunt, and I expect one of them to win.
Okay, so you're not going with the number one player in the world, Luke Donald.
No, he is not the number one player in the world. That's just some computer muck-up. I mean, he's not even close to the best player in the world. He's short. He's crooked. He's never won anything important. Not in his entire professional career has he ever won anything important. He's got 5 PGA Tour victories, 5 at the age of 33. I mean, that's absurd. That's not what the best player in the world does. The best player in the world has 5 victories over 2 years, not over the course of his lifetime. And so I think the whole thing is statistics and money and top tens. Golf's about winning. It's not about consistency. It's not about the numbers. It's about winning golf tournaments. And he doesn't win important things, and I don't think he's going to.
How do you like a Bud Cauley and Harris English, the youngsters in the field?
I tell you what, this Bud Cauley is incredible. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, he's tiny in terms of stature. I'll bet he's not more than 5'5", and he, you know, and he's not a big 5'5" in terms of being stocky either. But I watched him hit balls, and I watched him play, and it is astonishing how good he is. I watched him at Bay Hill. I mean, he's one of very few players that have ever gotten on the PGA Tour without going through Q School. He had some sponsors' exemptions. He made enough money, and he's on tour, and that means he can really play, and it means he's playing better than Ernie Els. And I like his chances of being competitive. I don't think he can win. I don't think Harris can win. Harris got very nervous when he was in contention a few weeks ago and shot a big number. So I think it'll take a while, but would I be shocked to find Bud Cauley on the periphery of contention or in the thick of things a bit? No, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he can win the golf tournament. I mean, he's capable of it if he has the 4 best rounds of his life, but I don't expect him to win.
No, I mean, he did very well at Bay Hill. He was right at the top of the leaderboard. That was exciting to see. He's got a huge future ahead of him. I think Harris English does, too.
I agree.
Okay, so I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we're all talking about Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods and all the other guys in contention, that, you know, the people that we all talk about. But doesn't it surprise you how many times... Oh, sorry, Phil Mickelson, he's the defending champ. So doesn't it surprise you how many times there's somebody you go, huh? How did that person win? Where'd he come from during a major?
That almost never happens at the Masters, though. I mean, you usually get somebody who's world-class. Now, nobody had heard of Charles Schwartzel, who's the defending champion. Phil won in 2010, of course. And so, you know, so Charles was an exception to a really well-known player winning. But, you know, if you go back over the last 10 years, you know, you've got Phil winning it a few times. You've got Tiger winning it a few times. You know, the better players, you know, Angel Cabrera winning, even though that was a crazy kind of a finish, and Kenny Perry choked it away. But generally at major championships, particularly at the Masters, you usually get a winner that you're comfortable with as opposed to, who's that?
We're going to have to wrap it up because we got the late start. Will you be back on the show again? I'd really like to keep in touch with you and see, how, you know, where you're going next.
You got my name and number. You call me anytime. I'll be there.
Peter Kessler, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Anytime. Thanks for including me.
We'll be back after this. Beth Ann Baldry from the Nabisco Craft Championship. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
If you'd like to play around at Poipu, there's a 9:40, 11 o'clock, 12:40. The Southside Men's Club, because it's on the south side of Kauai, they're going out this morning. The White family and Jay Cox family, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Over at Ko'olina, where the Lotte is going to be played. That's the next LPGA event to be played in Hawaii in April. That's right, you'll be able to watch all of the top players April 18th through the 21st at Ko'olina. They're also having a demo day this morning at 9 o'clock at Ko'olina. Starts at 9 o'clock, in case you missed it the first time. TaylorMade, Jerry King will be there. Go check him out. We've got rocket balls to give away, too. All right. From the Kraft Nabisco Championship, it is senior writer for Golf Week magazine, Beth Ann Baldry. Welcome to the show. Beth Ann, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
We've just been having a few technical difficulties this morning. It's good to have you on. We've got Yanni Surprise Sen in the lead this morning by one stroke. Boy, yesterday was exciting watching Lindsey Wright come on strong. Did you follow?
What a story Lindsey Wright is.
Yeah, I know.
Incredible.
You know, I mean, the fact that she has depression issues and playing so well, do you think after having that difficult 15th hole yesterday in the late part of the day, do you think she'll recover from that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, she has a really, really funny character on her bag, and Marty Lund, and I spoke with her after the round, and, you know, they both have kind of the same attitude about things now. You know, this isn't the end of the world, this isn't the be all end all, and she, you know, walked off that hole and said, well, you know, it's a new hole. You know, I think she was definitely over it by the end of the round, and she kind of said something to the effect of, you know, well, I had a hole out on number 9, so, you know, it all kind of evens out. You know, you just can't lose focus for a second at a major championship, or a big number will come up and bite you. But she just has a whole new perspective on life, period.
That's great. It's absolutely fabulous. Now, we expected Yanni to be in the lead. It's kind of like we used to expect Tiger Woods to be always at the top of the leaderboard. How does she feel having that kind of pressure on her?
Yanni is remarkably relaxed. I mean, it's really incredible. She comes into the media room every day, and she's smiling. She's, you know, on cloud 9. It seems like when you watch her out there, she just looks like she doesn't have a care in the world, which is incredible. She's able to shake off bad shots a lot better than she was a couple years ago. You know, you'd see her head down, looking kind of mopey on the golf course when she'd have a bad hole, and she's able to talk herself out of that now.
That's great. I just remember at the beginning of the year, she was playing poorly in an event, and someone reported she was in tears, and I was surprised to hear that.
Well, you know, Yanni is a tough competitor, but she's not shy about saying when she busts down. Just, you know, just has a good cry. She was really upset, and she had a lot of expectations, you know, that she placed on herself naturally. And, you know, she basically had a chat with her team, mostly her manager, Naya, and Naya kind of just let her have it, according to Yanni, and from their perspective, you know, you just got to shake these things off. You know, you've been in a bad mood. You know, you haven't treated people the way you should be treated. You know, she just kind of gave her a little lecture, and she just snapped out of it, so to speak, you know, and realized, you know, how she should be going about her business, and has you know, of course I wasn't in Australia and I wasn't in that hotel room. I didn't hear those conversations. So these are all what, you know, what Yanni was telling us in the media room. But you know, it sounds like she kind of did a bit of a 180, had a little attitude adjustment, and is in a much better place.
That's terrific. I mean, that's the kind of people you need around you. Yes, people are not the people you need when you're in her position. You need people who will tell you exactly like it is. And
exactly.
Yeah. That's really healthy. I'm so glad to hear that because she's an amazing person. I mean, that party you told us about that she threw it, was it at her home in Florida and y'all were invited over for Thanksgiving or don't remember?
Yeah. She had a little Thanksgiving dinner for the media at her house in Lake Nona, and it was so much fun. You know, she's playing pool. She's, you know, just cutting up with everyone, and her caddy was working the grill, and his fiance was in the kitchen whipping up a lot of really good food. And, you know, it was so much fun and an unprecedented gesture by World Number One to invite, you know, members of the print and the Golf Channel, the media over to her home. And it was the night before the first round. So, you know, we're all worried about her tea time. And she's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, we think we need the... We need Lever, she is an incredible person.
Yeah, let's go shoot some pool. Come on. I don't want to run the table.
Yeah, some money on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go down the leaderboard. I'm not familiar with Heijie Kang. She's in second.
You're not familiar with her because she hasn't done a whole lot. So, you know, it's interesting. Yanni has a couple of people behind her that, you know, haven't won on the LPGA or haven't won in a long time. And it's just kind of the unknown, you know, you just never know. It's just, this is going to be their week, you know, if they just come out and career it, you know, on the weekend. And it's going to be really windy the next couple, well, today, this afternoon, the next few hours, it's supposed to be 30 mile an hour winds and gusting higher than that. So it'll be interesting to see how these players, who haven't been in a position like this before, handle it. Because Yanni obviously does well at the British Open, and you kind of get everything there.
Karen Chodin, I'm not sure, I'm probably mispronouncing her name as usual. Tied for fifth.
Karen is a former Oklahoma State cowgirl. She played for Sweden and won the World Amateur Team Championship with her threesome. The trio of players represented Sweden, and she has a ton of talent. She's a great athlete. Kind of surprised that she hasn't done better on the LPGA. She's been out here a few years now, but she has a great sense of humor. She's really funny. You should follow her on Twitter if you're not already.
Do you know what her Twitter ID is, her handle?
Oh, no.
No, okay. Well,
I'm guessing it's just her name with, like, maybe an underscore or something.
I'll figure it out. I'll have to follow her. She looks wonderfully composed, very comfortable in her position right now, and that's great to see. Suzanne Pedersen, I have great expectations. What's
don't
up?
Don't we all?
Yeah, don't we all? Don't we all? She's really hard on herself.
She is. She is, you know, you look at Suzanne physically, you look at her golf swing. She's a very technical-minded person. She's just in her head. You know, she's been in her head for a few years now. I personally think she never should have left Gary Gilchrist. And that happens to be Yanni's instructor and, of course, Michelle Wee's former instructor.
Right.
I would say the same thing to Michelle. Nothing against Ledbetter, but I think some people, you know, Suzanne thought she needed, she's a very technical person, Ledbetter's a technical person, thought that would be a good marriage. But, you know, after a while, you know, when you're just in your head like that, you know, I think that Gary talks to Yanni as much about mental things and how to handle pressure and, you know, if something's not exactly 100% right in her swing, but she's still hitting it good, he just lets her go, you know? So, you know, I think she needs to introduce a little bit more feel into her game, and I think she just needs to let things go. She just got way too much pressure on herself, and she needs to smile more.
She needs to smile more. Yes. you know,
so hard out there.
Yeah, well, can we just like pretend like we're talking about Michelle Wie, because everything you just said seems to apply. I wish she'd never left Gary Gilchrist. I wish she would get out of her head. I wish she'd stop being so technical. I wish she'd get back to feeling. It's her. What's up with her putter? You wrote a great story about her putting these past 2 days. She missed the cut, if you didn't know.
She did miss the cut. And, you know, it's funny. Stacey Lewis played with her last week at the Kia, and she said it's hard to watch, which it is, because, you know, cause Michelle is missing so many short putts, you know, inside 3 feet. And he committed the putter. And I was having breakfast with a former PGA Tour player earlier this week, and he said, you know what, as hard as it is, Michelle needs to just not practice her putting until Thursday and just go out and play. He's like, my five-year-old could go out and make a two-footer. You know, Michelle Wie can make a two-footer. She doesn't need to stand on the green and hit 1,000 three-footers trying to figure out what's wrong with her putting stroke, you know? It's just feel and confidence, and just make yourself step away from it for a little while. And, you know, and I kind of wish that she would do something like that. And now that she's, you know, obviously not playing this weekend, and it has a little bit of her. Pays attention to it anymore if she's able to block it out, probably.
Yeah,
but when you're out, right there, do this, you know, and I don't know how you, she's in the media room all week talking about how she wants to just go back to instinct, you know, and feel and just trust it and quit overthinking and da-da-da-da. You know, you don't practice that. You just get everybody out of the way and do it, you know?
It's just contradictory. Yeah, I know. I just feel I'm giving her a year. I figure after college, getting back in fighting shape and form and sorting things out, I give her a year. And if things don't gel in a year, a little sad. Okay, Christina Kim. She says she's vocalizing again. She's having so much. Four birdies yesterday. She seems like she's really in a good place.
Well, you know, she has her dad helping her out again. And, of course, her dad comes and goes in terms of how much input he has. It's that way for a lot of players. I know I learned to play the game from my dad, and I think most girls at some point, you know, want to hear some advice and want to do it on their own. And now she's, you know, gone back to asking her dad for some help, and it seems to be working for her. It's kind of funny, on a side note about dads. Stacey Lewis switched putters yesterday from the first round to the second round. She was putting horribly the first round, and she'd been using this putter since the beginning of the year, and she called her dad on Thursday night and said, help. And it was so funny. I was talking to her mom and dad on Friday, and he was so happy that she still needed him. And she picked up the phone and said, can you help me? You know, Stacey's very independent, but it's just, you know, it's an adjustment when you're a parent. You're a parent, too. Your daughter is doing things on her own, and it's nice for them to feel needed.
That's,
you know,
wonderful. Yes. You're wonderful. Beth Ann Baldry, Golf Week senior writer, thank you so much for bringing us up to date from the Kraft Nabisco Championship. Really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Okay, and we'll talk soon. Aloha. We'll be back after this. Coming up next, we're going back to the Shell Houston Open. Actually, we haven't been there yet. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Overtech.
Hawaii's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Okay, we've got lots going on in the world of golf here in Hawaii. The TaylorMade folks are going to be over, and lots of others. I don't have the full list, but you know everybody's going to be there because it's demo day at Ko'olina. Go out there. We'd like to give away some rocket balls to the ninth caller. It's going to take a little while to do that, so just be very patient, but do give us a call, okay? The number is 808-296-5467. We only have one phone line right now to take a calls while we have a chat with Mike Bailey. Mike Bailey is the senior writer, worldgolf.com. He's at the Shell Houston Open. He's been traveling all through. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danielle. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a while. Were you just in Florida during the whole Florida swing?
No, I wasn't there for the tournament, but I was down there doing some of my travel stuff for the Travel Golf Network and golfchannel.com, which is in my main employer, and just checking out some of the good daily feeds in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm area, and weather was perfect, and you can't go wrong going down to Florida in March to play a little golf.
And so tell me, what was your favorite, can you say which is your favorite place that you stopped in Florida?
Yeah, on this trip, there were a couple places I was really impressed with, and one was a Donald Ross course that goes back to like 1926, and that's the Biltmore, which is right there in Coral Gables. It's just minutes from downtown Miami, and they renovated it. Brian Silver renovated it, three or four years ago, and it's just spectacular. And you know how those Donald Ross courses are, especially when they get a hold of them and modernize the bunkers a little bit and move them around for the modern game. I mean, they're just, those old designs just hold up so well from a great architect like Donald Ross, and that's certainly the case. So I was really impressed with that, and it made. Last course I played was Jacaranda, which is in Fort Lauderdale, and they've got 36 holes out there. And the East course is pretty well known. Play a lot of local PGA tournaments and good tournaments out there. And they switched over to Pass Palom, which obviously you're very familiar with in Hawaii. And that's got a really nice look to it. And so it was, two or three courses really looked inviting. And I'll do a little plug for us on Golf Now. We've got those courses on Golf Now. And you can actually get some pretty good deals if you look for those tee times online. So
excellent. Will you have pictures at golfchannel.com?
Eventually, when I get caught up.
It must be rough in Guyana. We're talking about. Give us the name again.
It's the Biltmore, and it's a very historic course. It's actually a municipal, but it's next to the historic Biltmore Hotel, which you may have heard of, which is just a classic. I don't know a lot about when it comes to hotel architecture, but it's a very recognizable hotel, very very grand.
Yes,
goes back almost 100 years. So they do some nice golf packages there. Have a great spa and two or three of the best restaurants in Florida are right there in Biltmore. So I haven't been able to. architect.
I like that kind of architecture and the feel that you have when you walk in. I mean, you can almost feel all the people who've been there before. You know, there's a flavor, there's a sense, it's just wonderful. Okay, you're at the Shell Houston Open.
Yes, I am. I have a part-time job as the local golf writer for the Houston Chronicle because I live in Houston. And you know, my PGA Tour coverage every year is pretty much limited to the events that come here. So I'm here covering the Shell Houston Open for the Chronicle. I do the sidebars and some of the notes and stuff like that. So we're out here watching a pretty good tournament. It's getting pretty interesting with the old guy, Jeff Maggart. And he's also local, right on top of the leaderboard. So he's having a great week so far. It'll be interesting to see if he holds on.
I was looking at, I mean, he's 12 under, and then we've got, let's see now, Lee Westwood, 6 under, Graham McDowell, 5 under, Ricky Fowler, 6 under. I mean, but you're looking at somebody who's 12 under. I suppose a lot can happen in 2 days, but wow.
He is dialed in. I got to interview him after the first. He shot a pair of 66s, and of course, it was rain delayed on Thursday, so it's been a little bit of a scramble here, but we are in round 3 now with a cut, and He's dialed in, and he's very comfortable here in Houston, although, you know, he grew up on the other course that they played it on, which was the TPC at the Woodlands, and now, of course, we're at the tournament course at Redstone. He had surgery last year for a bum shoulder, and he says he's feeling healthy, feeling like he's 38 instead of 48.
And, wow.
You know, and he's always been very, very consistent in the greens here because they prep this course to kind of mimic the conditions at Augusta. They're spectacular. I mean, they're just absolutely perfect. So if you can read putts, you're going to make them here. I mean, it's just the ball's rolling so good, and the course is in such great shape. Even with the deluge of storms that we had on Thursday, it's still in really nice shape. So
and the weather forecast for the weekend?
Hot and muggy like it always is here.
But at least no thunder and lightning.
Well, there's always that possibility. Mm-hmm. As we start getting into the heat. You know, it's kind of like almost like Florida. So you get that afternoon thunderstorm every once in a while. But I think we're going to be okay. It looks pretty good.
Okay, so who is this this Englishman, Brian Davis?
Oh, Brian. Yeah, he's an interesting fellow. I actually did a story on and he's had a good career, and he's won a couple of times on the European Tour, been ranked as high as 49th in the world golf rankings. I think he's somewhere around 111th or something like that right now. But he had a good week the week before. He finished tied for fourth at Bay Hill. He's a very consistent player. But the big thing with him is he's kind of sorted out his life and his career here in the last year or so. His father died at the end of last year, and he said that caused him to reassess his, you know, his whole life, every child were born with pretty severe problems at birth, but they're okay now. But they had to go through that, and he and his wife, Julie, I believe is her name, they live in Florida. He works with he started working with a sports psychologist, and his name escapes me for the moment, but mm-hmm. He's one of the guys based out of Orlando, Winters, Bob Winters. And, you know, he changed caddies. And he said the biggest thing he's done this year is really work on his time management, his practice schedule he's keeping to, and he just appears to be a lot more together and a lot happier, and he's feeling good about things. So, you know, I expect him to keep playing well.
Excellent. It's nice to see Louis Oosthuizen. Am I getting his name right there?
You know? I'm not gonna attempt it. Spelling is hard enough.
Yeah, I know. I always have to look back to make sure I've got it right.
Right.
But British Open just blew everybody away with his iron play. It was amazing. He had his driver dialed in, which is hard in the Open, right? You know how to hit a driver long.
For an old guy.
All right, fine. For an old guy. No, you're good. Okay. So tell me about his game today.
Well, he's kind of an interesting story, too, because he kind of dropped off, and we hadn't heard much from him. And we were talking about it here in the media room, and he's like all these guys. You know, they get it going good, and they go, well, how can I take it to the next level? So they start messing with their swing and, you know, trying to reinvent themselves. You know, they know Tiger keeps changing, so I guess everybody else thought they needed to do the same thing, too. So, you know, he's struggled with some swing changes, apparently, but, you know, right now it looks like he's feeling pretty comfortable, and you know, he's certainly playing well, and you know, at the moment, you know, he's as good a bet as anybody. Of course, you know, what people thought was that Phil Mickelson would come in here. He's a defending champion, and just run over the field again, and that certainly hasn't happened yet, but Phil's right there as well.
Well, wait a minute. He had a 65. He started and then had to end the second day or finish the first round. Explain.
He played three holes the first day when the storms hit. So he got to come out early the next morning and finish his round. They had a great group. He was playing with Fred Couples and Charles Swarsel, who didn't. Charles, by the way, I don't believe made the cut.
No, he didn't. No, no.
But it was a marquee group. I mean, the crowds were huge. The galleries were huge for that group. And yeah, you know, Phil and the way that he always does. I mean, he lit it up and, you know, went for broke on a lot of shots. And actually, if he'd have made a few more putts, he could have shot 61 or 62 in that first round. And you know, it kind of cooled off a little in that second round coming back, which was a little surprising because in the second round they were allowed to lift clean in place. When you get the ball in hand with these guys, you know, it's like shooting darts for them. They can give themselves a perfect lie in the fairway. But then again, we're talking Phil Mickelson, so maybe he didn't hit that many fairways. I don't know what stats or but those guys that can, you know, absolutely take that ball, clean it up, spit it up just like they want, they're amazing. They're so good with their irons. They really are that, you know, these guys are good. They're really good.
Yeah, they are. Tommy Gainey, two gloves. It's great to see him there.
Yeah, and he's always amazing. He's always amusing too. I think he said something about how awful he's been playing, and then you look at it, he hasn't been playing that awful. But he's got a new putter this week. He says he's really rolling it well, really happy with it. So you know, he doesn't have exactly a conventional swing, as we all know, coming out of the Golf Channel Big Break thing, I think in 2005. But he hits it hard and he hits it a long way, and you know, he's always a threat. You know, to be right there in contention. So it'll be interesting to see how he does this weekend as well.
Anybody you favor that you're watching for the Masters?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got to watch. Obviously, you got to watch Phil Mickelson here. You know, he's been playing well in his last few tournaments. And, you know, that if you look back at Pebble Beach and his little duel with Tiger there at the end, that was very impressive. And he appears to be playing well this week, too. You know, he's got a little different strategy than, you know, again, going back to Tiger, he likes to play the week before, but one of the reasons he plays here is because, you know, the medical facilities here are world-class, and his wife and mom both, I believe, were treated at MD Anderson, so he feels like he owes Houston a little bit, so, you know, Houston kind of has a special place, I guess, in his heart, but he loves this tournament now, and, you know, this is a good place for him to tune up, so you got to look at Phil as being one of the favorites. Boy, after what Tiger did last week at Bay Hill, and you know, he's the odds-on favorite, according to the bookies. You know, you can't discount him. And you know, you look at a guy like Charles Schwarzel, even though he didn't have a good week. You know, I mean, he's the defending champion. He's still a really good player. You know, I like guys like Hunter Mahan, and you got to like Rory, of course.
Yeah, of course. Of course, got to put Rory in there because he's going to...
Yeah, got to put Rory in there.
He's got to play well this time after last year, and then he came back and redeemed himself in the U.S. Open, of course. Yeah, so we're going to see if he ends up in the cabins again or not, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, we were talking about Steve Stricker the other day and why he hasn't won a major.
Yes.
I was watching him hit wedges yesterday on the range, and he's one of the most amazing wedge players I've ever seen. He was hitting, we were watching him hit the different pins, and at one point I think he made like 3 out of 4. He holed the shots 3 out of 4, and he doesn't even take a divot. He hits it so crisp and so good. He's an amazing wedge player, and you would think that that would translate into a U.S. Open or something at one point, because he hits it so straight too. He's so consistent. But, you know, any major, I'm waiting to see if Steve Stricker finally does something at the Masters. And, then, you know, some of these young guys, like, you know, Keegan Bradley's got an awful lot of talent. And, you know, Kyle Stanley's been impressive.
Nobody's talking about Ricky Fowler. You know, it's sad. But on one note about Steve Stricker, I think he said there's something about Augusta, he can't see the shots.
Right.
And Bubba Watson really, you know, he explained he likes desert golf because it's really easy for him to see the green and then you see the brown. So he can visualize the shot that he has to very easily. And then you put him in the middle of all this green, he said he can't kind of distinguish where the pattern is.
Right.
I thought that was perfect. It's a perfect something for everybody to think about. You know, when you visualize your shot, you really need to look at your scorecard. I mean, the way things are laid out, that hole that you're playing, look at it, you know, backwards, forwards. Get as much information so you can, in your mind, see where you want your body to put the... Because ultimately, you know, if you're going to do it, if you play with your feel, the feel of what you see, you're going to do it better than the strategy of the swing and how to come down and hit it. And if you think too much, it's just going to mess you up. You don't think that much when you throw a baseball or you throw a football. You know, you just don't. There's the target. I'm going there. If you put more of that into your game, I think, you know, you'll play. Do you think when you're coming down with your on the tee, Mike Bailey, do you think about, you know, how I'm going to come down out of my backswing and come into contact and how I'm going to follow through? Or do you look at your target and go?
No, I'm usually thinking about lunch or what I had for dinner last night. Or I hope the hotel room's nice.
There you go. Those are the kind of swing thoughts you ought to have. Mike Bailey, so good to talk to you. GolfChannel.com, main employer, but he works for a whole bunch of people, so you'll find him all over the place. And follow him on Twitter. It's ACCIDENTLGOLFER. You made it so hard.
Well, we had to get rid of the A because they didn't have give me enough letters. But that's also my blog, too, Accidental with the A, with that A in front of the L.
Okay.
That's my blog on travel golf. And I can't wait to get back out to Hawaii again. That's always one of my favorite destinations.
Great. We'll take you back to, it's now called the Royal Hawaiian Country Club. It's
love
it. Exactly. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Daniel. It's great visiting with you.
Thank you. And congratulations, Brian Fujiwara, Waipahu. You are the winner of Rocket Balls. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Congratulations. congratulations to the 2012 Humana Challenge in partnership with the Clinton Foundation, nominated for Sports Event of the Year by Sports Business Journal and Sports Business Daily, and the award will be out on May 23rd. They were nominated, so we'll see who wins the award in New York on May 23rd. Let's welcome to the show Steve DiMiglio, senior writer, USA Today. Good morning.
Danielle, how are you doing?
Excellent, and you?
Well, it's another day in paradise here in Rancho Mirage, though it's a little bit hot already,
uh-huh.
So the greens could get baked out,
mm-hmm.
And we're waiting for windstorms to hit about 4 p.m. our time, so things could get interesting this afternoon.
Wow, okay, so that about 1 o'clock this afternoon, Hawaii time, it's going to get, well, it's been, it's like a 4-club wind here, it's blowing.
It could be a 4-club wind here. It hasn't been more than a half a club wind all week so far this week, but if that wind does get through these mountains, it could get really, really funny and goofy out there.
Wow, that's interesting, because when I was at Humana in Palm Springs, was I in Palm Springs?
Yeah,
in La Quinta. Yeah, boy, we had a windstorm. It just about took the media center right apart. It was a very interesting afternoon. So I understand exactly what you mean, and that can be dangerous. I mean, whew. Okay. What's the biggest difference between being at an LPGA event and a PGA Tour event?
Why is it different out here on the LPGA Tour?
What's the biggest difference? Just between.
Well, I think you would have to go long and far to feel bad about approaching a player. No player out here ever makes you feel bad approaching them. And I mean, the women play a pro-am before a major championship. That's different. They will actually walk right off the range and sign for 10 minutes before they go and chip and putt during practice rounds. That's different.
Wow.
The accessibility is just far different. And I don't, and I think it has to do with women versus men in a sense that women are, I think, more polite on average than men are. But it is utterly amazing to see a woman ask Ai Miyazato, as she's on the range practicing for a major championship, if she could take pictures of her swing, you know. And it's just, and I'll give you another big example. I don't care if it was a corporate outing or not. Michelle Wee missed the cut. She was dejected yesterday, and yet she signed for about 50 minutes after the round, autographs. And I don't know if that would ever happen on the PGA Tour.
Exactly. The guys just walk out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And quickly.
And flee the scene of the last disaster. I do not want to see the carnage or feel it any longer. Okay, so who are you following today?
Well, we obviously have to follow the number one player in the world, maybe the most dominant athlete in any sport, and that'd be Yanni. She's in the last group. She's got a one-shot lead, and I don't think they're going to catch her. Yanni has reached a level that, in my time, only Tiger reached, and that in the sense that people actually would think, do you take Yanni or the field? Do you take Tiger or the field? Tiger had that once. Now I think Yanni's got it. She's just got control of every part of her game, and unfortunately for the rest of the LPGA Tour, she's better at every part of her game than they are. So Yanni, I think, is two rounds away from her sixth major championship.
Wow, that put, I mean, she's already, what, 4 points from being in the Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
And that puts her, she's got to wait because you've got to be in the LPGA for 10 years?
Yes, yes. She could qualify on points, I think, at Sybase this year. It's just, if she wins this week, it'll be her sixth major championship. That is 3 years quicker, she's 23, than anybody else. Tiger was 26 when he won his sixth. Mickey Wright was just a little older at 26 when she won her sixth, and she was 26. Yanni is just doing things right now that we haven't seen in a while.
Is she going to get bored?
No. Yanni, there's three things that Yanni loves to do. Yanni loves to win, Yanni loves to have fun, and Yanni loves to work. And she knows she can't win without the work, and she knows she can't have the fun without the winning, and she's got one of the best personalities you'll ever come across. She loves to have fun, but she knows she's got to put in the work. So if she's going to shoot a game of stick and play eight ball and for about an hour, she knows she's going to hit the weight room another hour, and she won't slack off on her work. And I don't think she'll ever get bored. She lives in Annika's old house and Annika's old trophy room, and she's filling it up, and I don't think she's going to stop until it's overflowing.
I want to see her do clinics for the rest of the players so they can try and catch her.
I don't know how you can. I mean, there are some players out here that can compress the ball like she can and move it right to left and left to right and have the power. But, I mean, it's one person there, one person there. And then you add on the fact that Yanni is as good a putter right now as there is, with maybe the exception of Aimee Azzotto. But it's just, she's got everything. And nobody has more confidence than she does.
Who's her putting coach?
Well, she's worked with Stockton, Dave Stockton, one of the greatest putters of all time, the two-time major champion and the former Ryder Cup champion in 1991. And he simplified it for her. I mean, she used to always think about where her foot is, where her pinky was, release point, all that, and Stockton just simplified it. Take it back, go forward, boom, boom, boom. And she's putting a lot better in the last, oh, I don't know, she's won 15 times in the last 13 months, so I'd say since then.
Now, you know, I know Michelle Wee stopped in with the Stocktons but not long enough, apparently.
No, they had a falling out, and I don't know if it had to do with Michelle's parents or Dave. Dave's got a pretty tough personality, and, you know, you anger him, you anger him for a long time. But I don't know what happened between them, but they were working together, and all of a sudden, boom, it was over. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Dave is ever going to work with her again, but who knows? But somebody needs, if I were Michelle Wee right now, I'd stop listening to everybody when it comes to putting. I would just get away from everybody, try to go back to when she was 14 and 15, and she'd just look at the putt, get up and bang it, and she didn't care if it went 4 feet by because she knew she was going to make the comebacker. And now she's missing the hole from 2 feet.
I heard she missed it from 1 foot.
Yes. I don't know if it was 1 foot. It was the worst one we saw this week was 17 yesterday, 2 days ago. She was even par, and she had a 2-footer on 17 going to her last hole, and it didn't hit the hole.
Wow.
And,
wow.
She missed a couple of them yesterday. I just think she doesn't look comfortable. I mean, maybe she should look at film of her putting, because she does not look comfortable. And if, man, I don't know. I can't think of a great putter who didn't look comfortable when they were putting. So
she went away from the long putter, right? She's playing.
She went back to the putter that she was using when she was 14 and 15. I mean, the exact one. And she was feeling great on the putting green, but then, you know, the world changes when you go from the driving range to the first tee, and she putted well in spurts this week, and then all of a sudden, you know, I think it just took one missed 3.5-footer, and then she's starting to think again, and the next 3-footer, and then the next 3-footer, and then she's back to the worst day she's ever had, I think, on the putting green.
Wow. Okay. Who do you think, I mean, Lindsay Wright yesterday, that was exciting to see Yanni being challenged. Don't you think we need somebody challenging her, or is it okay to just have one dominant player?
Well, I don't think the LPGA was hurt when Annika was dominating. I don't think it was hurt when Lorena was dominating. I don't think it's hurt now with Yanni dominating, because, I mean, as a sports fan, if you don't want to see the best player you're ever going to see, then why would you watch any other time? I mean, you have a chance to see somebody who could end up being, and I know it's a long ways away, but could end up being the best female golfer you've ever going to see in your life. And so why wouldn't you want to come and see that? Then again, though, there was that stretch, I think the most interesting time for me when I saw on the LPGA Tour when I started watching it was when Annika and Kari Webber going back and forth.
Yes!
And it was Yankees-Red Sox sort of thing, and Notre Dame-USC sort of thing. I think the game would be better if Michelle Wee would challenge every week, and it'd be Yanni and Michelle, or Yanni and Suzanne, or Yanni, Michelle, Suzanne, or throwing Christy Kerr. But right now, that's a pretty big gap from happening.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, she's so far ahead, there's a lot of catching up to do. When we talk about Suzanne and Michelle, this seems like, and we were talking about this earlier with Beth Ann Baldry, it's like we're talking about the same problems. They both think too much. They mm-hmm. both are too hard on themselves. They don't get over the last letdown, meltdown, whatever.
It's true. I mean, I joke with Suzanne a few times, and I tell her, you know, when you get to your top swing, you don't have to worry about where your pinky is. I mean, that's what happens with Suzanne. She's thinking about too many things, and she's the most natural athlete out here. Just let it go. But, Beth Ann Baldy, she's exactly right. I think Michelle's got too many things in her head about the swing. I think Suzanne does, too. And I think they fight themselves. I think they think themselves into mistakes instead of just naturally letting it go and flowing with the flow. And I would love to just see Suzanne go out there, play 18 holes without not worrying about where her left big toe is and her right pinky toe is at the start of her swing and where the club face is when she's coming down with the swing. But there's a boatload of talent with those two, and hopefully, you know, Suzanne won 5 times in 1 year. She's capable of doing that again. Maybe not with Yanni playing as well, but she's certainly capable of being the second best player. And so we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I wanted to ask you, the difference between the LPGA and the PGA Tour TV coverage, is it the number of cameras that are on the course?
Well, I think there's a reason you're going to have, you know, what? Let's just take a ballpark figure, 25 cameras on the golf course at the Masters. I don't think they have to worry about paying any bills.
Yeah.
And at the U.S. Open, there's going to be 25 to 30 cameras in the big old crane above us.
Yeah, there's like 100.
Because they don't have to worry about bills. And they're selling a lot more advertising than the LPGA is right now. And so I still think, look, for what they have out here with Fulci and Crafter on the course and the cameras that they do a wonderful job. They don't miss a whole lot of shots, I'll tell you that.
No. I just wanted to explain it to people who are watching. You know, they sometimes they take, you know, criticize, and it's like, that's why, you know.
The Masters might have more cameras on one hole than the LPGA has here on the course. But that's just because they don't have to pay, you know, worry about paying bills.
Yeah. And before I let you go, what is the what's the highlight so far for you? That hole in one yesterday, Jenny Shen, that was amazing. She didn't make the cut, but she got a car. That was awesome.
What was awesome is I think Bell and Moza, who was her playing partner, celebrated more than she did. I mean, you can see it. Watch the replay. Bell and Moza starts going crazy. The best thing this week, it's just watching Yanni. I mean, Yanni's dominance. Right now, if you ask me who would beat her, you know, Nayeon Choi isn't going to lose. She's the number two player in the world. I think Christy Kerr, if she gets hot with the putter, and once she does, nobody putts like she does, she can make a run. But that one-stroke lead by Yanni might as well be 5 or 7 right now. It's just she's that dominant right now.
All right. And okay, one more thing.
Lexi
Thompson. Lexi.
Mm-hmm.
She it's like she got something going yesterday, and then she would bogey, then birdie, bogey, bogey. It was just, there was like not a consistency that expect from her. But she's young?
Yeah, she's 17. I think she's looking for a prom date. I mean, you know, how many the players out here aren't doing that? She's having a little struggles with the putter, but she's working through things with Stockton right now. So if Stockton can work his magic like he did with Yanni with Lexi, okay, then Yanni's got a rival.
There you go.
Because Lexi can pump it out there just with Yanni. She can move it right to left, left to right. And she's got to learn these courses, too. There's another thing. These are the most subtle greens that they're going to face, I think, of any golf tournament this year. There's just slight breaks. And when Christy Kerr is talking about how difficult they are, then you know they're pretty tough greens. And she's got to learn the course is a little better. But, again, she's only 17, so she'll be fine.
Excellent. Senior writer, USA Today, Steve DiMeglio, thanks so much for being on the show. Always enjoy talking with you.
Anytime, Danielle.
Okay, thank you. We'll be back after this. Jeff Tate, Quagmire. Well, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation? Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels? Your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. To Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back to the show. The creative director of Quagmire, you know, Arnie Ware and Quagmire Kids. I actually won some Quagmire. I don't win anything. I won some Quagmire golf attire last year, and it came to, I was so impressed with the hand, the feel of the fabric, how it falls. It really, Jeff Tate, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm glad you liked the skirt.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was, I got the skort, I got the shirt, and I'm not a real big plaid person, but I like this. I like the combination, the skirt, the skort, and the, nice, the feel of the fabric, the way it falls, that's really important to me. And because it's how it makes you feel, you know?
Yeah.
So I understand you got your start kind of like Apple did in the garage of your parents' place. Is that where you started the business?
Yeah, pretty much. I actually went to school in Australia, and I learned how to design clothing down there. I was going to the business school, but I was kind of bored, and I thought I'd like to make some beach clothes. So I made beach clothes and sold them on the beach and did different things like that. And then I came back to Canada and thought we better start a cool, young, hip clothing line. And that's when I met my business partner, Bob Pasternak. And we went at it from there. And you're right, we worked out of our cars and we worked out of his dad's factory, out of the back.
That's excellent. That's, you know, come on, kids, do it. Now, as creative director, do you, like, I've watched these shows on, are you, like, draping fabric on mannequins?
Sometimes I have a good team. I have a good team with me as well. I got three designers in the business. They've been around for many years, and they help me kind of pick out colors and fabrics and different things like that. But it's, you know, the golf world. We look for function and style and obviously fashion, and it's all about those wicking fabrics on top and down below. So.
Have you noticed that, you know, golf women golfers are wearing more and more tennis outfits?
Yeah, really, it as well. It's unbelievable how it all can kind of cross over, which is a bonus for the pocketbook, that's for sure. Because you can wear it, you know, playing golf on the tennis court, and then even to the patio after. So that's kind of the perk. Yeah, and Quagmire Golf. We like to play golf, drink a lot of beer, and have a lot of fun.
All right. And I also understand that you got to go through Arnold Palmer's closets and take home some of his clothes that he saved up from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
I have. It's been an unbelievable experience. We got a phone call from IMG and Arnold Palmer Enterprises about a year and a half ago, and they asked if we'd be interested in having a meeting about kind of reinventing the Arnold Palmer clothing. And I was floored. I thought it was April Fool's, but which is tomorrow. But It was the real deal, and we went down and went through his closets, and I came up with the idea of let's make it what he used to wear, but put a modern twist on it. So it's based on the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And, yeah, I got to take home some sweaters and pants and shirts just to kind of get inspired and get a feel for what Mr. Palmer wore back then.
And what was the fabric mostly back then?
Well, it was a lot of cotton, and he still to this day loves his 100% mercerized cotton. But it's obviously, you know, if you're going to compete in the world of fashion and golf, you have to have the polyester functional, you know, tops and bottoms as well. But, you know, it was more for the plackets and the collars and the, you know, the 5 or 6 button collar or plackets and things like that. That's where we got the inspiration from. And then the fabrics, we kind of put the modern twist into. So
you'll have that wicking and all the benefits that the modern technologies put into the fabrics.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called the Palmer Performance. We came up with that name, and it's got all the antibacterial, antimicrobial, wicking. Keep it dry and hopefully not too smelly.
And sunscreen to boot.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. You know, this it'll protect you from the sun as well. You know, keep everything off of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, how are you going to release the like 50s and 60s and 70s? How are you going to do this?
Yeah, the 50s are already out. 50s, they're available at places like Golfsmith, so they bought it exactly the way that we kind of made it. So the 50s, they came out last month. The 60s are going to be out this month, and then the 70s come out next month. So that way, on the shelves, it makes them feel and look that there's some new stuff coming in with a totally different vibe. It's already out. Most golf clubs should have it on the shelves and the racks already, and Ryan Moore's wearing it on the tour. I'm just watching him on TV right now, rooting for him. I know everybody's rooting for Ernie, but I'm rooting for Ryan so we can watch him at the Masters next week. So.
Excellent. Ryan Moore is wearing your clothes.
Yeah, Ryan Moore, he's known as a style guru out there. You know, he's for the past couple of years, he's kind of worn what he's wanted to wear and not really conformed to the different corporate companies. And we approached him last, I guess, probably 6 months ago and said, we have this new venture with Mr. Palmer. Would he be interested? And he said, absolutely. He had one look at the designs and said, this is exactly the kind of stuff that I like to wear.
So. Very cool. Are you going to go with the flared legs and everything on when it gets up into the 70s?
In the little 50s is a bit of most of it's boot cut, and then the 60s has a little bit of a bell bottom on one pair of pants. But we've tried to keep the bottoms more modern because we don't want to deter anybody away from the pants if they're too big and baggy or wide legs. So it's mostly just the tops that are kind of based around those three eras. But yeah, everything's got its own style and finesse to it.
And Mr. Palmer, why did Mr. Palmer choose you, a quagmire in Canada?
I ask myself that every night before I go to bed. No, they said they've been watching us for the past 5 or 6 years with the Quagmire brand, and they really liked the youthfulness and the look and the attitude behind the brand. And you know, just from my opinion, the Arnold Palmer clothing was kind of a little bit outdated, and they realized that, and they wanted to modernize it and make it worthy of the man himself. So we hopped on board. And
excellent.
Like I said, we've been working with him for the past year and a half, and he's very hands-on, too. We were with him last week at Bay Hill, having a couple of cocktails and going over some ideas, and it's been an unbelievable experience.
I bet. The umbrella, it stays?
The umbrella's staying, but for the Arnie line, it's actually black and white. We changed it to black and white to make it a little slicker, and so it kind of resonates with the younger demographic that we're going for.
Yeah.
And then the colorful umbrella, don't be surprised if you don't see it making a resurgence in the next year and a half with the new Arnold Palmer Classic, but you didn't hear that from me.
Okay. I'll keep that totally under my on the hat here, okay?
keep that under your umbrella.
Yes, sir. On the women's tour, do you have anyone wearing Quagmire?
Yeah, we do. We have we actually have Tiffany Joel. She's known for her kind of crazy YouTube videos and all that stuff. We thought she'd be a perfect fit for it, and she'd love the brand. We actually have a color-changing shirt, and she really loved that. The shirt actually changes color with heat, so she's been wearing it out on the tour, and she's been getting a lot of a lot of attention through that. We also have Stephanie Lott, who's worn it for the past 3 or 4 years. A young Canadian named Kirby Durr, I believe her last name is. I'm sorry, I had trouble pronouncing that.
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah. So we have those three, and we're rocking.
Yeah, you are. I also like your golf dresses. Are you going to introduce those in the spring, summer, possibly?
Yeah, we have some great golf dresses. I've always put a couple dresses in the line every year, and they're not the best sellers when it comes to guys buying them in the pro shops. But you know what? I love how cute they are, and it's always nice. Just not have a polo and a pair of shorts. It's nice to throw some dresses in there as well. So, like I said, we don't sell a ton of them, but they're very cute to complement the rest of the line.
But they're on everything's available online, right? Quagmire.com?
Yeah, Quagmire Golf. Yeah, QuagmireGolf.com, and then ArnieWear.com is the Arnold Palmer clothing. And then we also have a Quagmire Kids collection, which has taken off like crazy. We've made the kids line. So it's not just the watered down men's or ladies polo. We actually, had the kids in mind when we were designing it. So it's quite cute, and the kids seem to really be digging it, especially the color changing shirts.
Oh, I want a color changing shirt.
I'll have one in the mail on Monday.
Yes, well, if you're going to take my list.
Sure, no problem.
So I wanted to ask you, how did you get Sir Branson in the picture with you?
We have some good friends in Canada that we actually had lunch with them. So I have a buddy that he banked, and he said, we're having lunch with Richard Branson. Would you be interested? I said, yeah, it's kind of like asking the question if we'd be interested in partnering with Arnold Palmer, right?
So yeah.
That was a given. So yeah, we were lucky. We've met a lot of great, people along the way that have supported all of our brands, and it's just been a fun ride for sure. There's been a little beer drinking along the way, and we're going to actually go to the mass, Mr. Palmer, next week too for a couple of days. He invited us, so
yes. And on that note, sir, may you have a wonderful week, which I know it will be. That it must
Thank
be
you.
Really something being with him, because he's got such a personality. He makes you feel like you're in his family when you're with him.
You're exactly. I couldn't better myself. And to be honest with you, his family are the most welcoming, nicest people. Amy Saunders is his daughter, and she's quite hands-on with the business of Arnold Palmer these days. And Corey Britt, his vice president. These are two of my best friends now, which is unbelievable from a year and a half ago to not know them, to be sitting at their house last week at Bay Hill and having a red stripe and having a good time watching the golf. Because their house is right on 18 at Bay Hill. So it's just unbelievable to be able to pick up the phone and talk to them every day. And Mr. Palmer to be so welcoming, exactly, right into his family. And it's been unreal.
Unreal. Thank you so much. QuagmireGolf.com, ArnieWear.com. And you can follow Jeff Tate right at Quagmire Golf on Twitter.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We'll do it again, because it's fun talking to you about the clothes and the fact that you got to. Did you try on Arnold's old outfits? Come on.
This is off the record, too.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried the sweater on, but the pants didn't fit. Just don't tell anybody.
Jeff, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker, when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team.
Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Before we go back to the Shell Houston Open, Makalei has a 948, a 1052, 1148, Kalepahui and Kapalepa. They're all going out today to play, including the Kapa Slipa Tourney. That means, you know, with, just play in your slippers, okay, and have a good time. I mean, some of the best things, Gabby Pahinui, he would play barefoot, all right? His last round was at Kahuku, at that beautiful little nine-hole municipal course. That would be hole, Danielle. Poipu has a 940, 11 o'clock, and a 1240. Kapalei has an 859, 1126. At Raw Hawaiian, there's an 1110, 1230. McKenna has a 944, 1040, 1136. Volcano, 10 o'clock, 1030, 11 o'clock. Mid-Pacific Open, that's a men's usually event, but the ladies are playing. In fact, the LPGA, Hawaii's version, is coming with Stephanie Kono, Ayaka Kaneko, and Kimberly Kim, for sure. The 62nd Jenny K. Wilson Women's Invitational Golf Tournament, that's May 18th through the 20th, and you can get into that event. Applications are available. Get in touch with the folks at Midpack Country Club. It's going to be busy over there. Let's welcome into the clubhouse John Brooks over at the Shell Houston Open. Welcome to the show, and I'm watching Freddie Couples. He's amazing. Freddie is amazing because he won last week on the Champions Tour. He's playing on the PGA Tour this week, and then he's going to go play at the Masters.
I know. Well, what a trifecta, huh? It's hard to get a better trifecta than that, and there's not many places you could ever get it. So I don't know whether he would be a 1-2 favorite if you looked at it on one side, or a 25-1 long shot for any of this to happen. But when you're talking about Freddie, he'd probably be a 1-2 favorite for that to happen because of his amazing career.
It's really something to see him. You know, I mean, I think it has to do with, we've been talking about attitude and thinking too much. And, he's got the right attitude. He's so California laid back, you know?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I mean, there's no question, I think, that, you know, if you could plug something in and then get a reading off of it, you probably find that there's been a demeanor there that's been able to adapt to a lot of scenarios, whether it's been injury scenarios or it's play on a course or in the middle of a good or bad season and knowing how to adjust or go along with it. I think you'd probably find a pretty good reading on the demeanor menu or on the demeanor meter. Say that three times.
Demeanor meter? Demeanor meter.
Say demeanor meter three times. I heard you saying all those tricky Hawaiian names and kulakaku and elele, and you were talking real fast, and I was laughing because I was listening to you, and I thought, wow. I couldn't talk that quick on this show. It'd be laborious.
Well, you know, take me back to an Indian area, and it'll take me a while to get into being able to pronounce all those words. So
you made me feel better.
There you go.
I am from Oklahoma. I'll go right back after this event, and I'll do some Native American tribe stuff so that I'll feel like that I talk better than you.
You can. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Now, who have you been watching? Who's your personal favorite?
Okay, here's mine. Okay. I said it. It's always easy for guys to say this now when the guy's up near the top. But I said on one report I did for somebody before the rain came on Thursday, I said, I kind of have a feeling about Louis Oosthuizen. And, you know, when the rains came, he was at 4-under, but it had been kind of a quiet 4-under to that point. And then when play resumed yesterday, and they're making up the rest of the first round and playing the second, it was very quiet. There was a lot of talk about the top of the leaderboard and things. And here he came, slowly. You know, he's tied for 15, now he's tied for 12, now he's tied for 9. And suddenly there he was at the end of the day as the, well, I guess you call it clubhouse leader. It's in the middle of a fractured round. But nevertheless, went to bed along with Brian Davis as the co-leader at minus 11. Now, he's going to go off here in about 25 minutes with Jeff Migert and Brian Davis. Those are the top three. And Migert's a story in himself in that he finished his round today, had 6 birdies in the second round. He's backed it up at 66 for 132. And then Brian Davis and Oosthuizen right behind. But I'm going to stay with Oosthuizen as my pick to win it. I do think this about Migert, Danielle, that, you know, he had 2 runners up at the Shell Houston Open when it was played at the Woodlands. It's hard to believe it's now been a decade. But over here at Redstone, both at the club course and then eventually the tournament course where it's been played the last 6 years, he's had good rounds. In fact, he's had good back-to-back round, but he's never been able, he's either started fast as he has here this year and then imploded in the last 2 rounds, or he nicks himself in just inside the cut and then quietly finishes in the top 25, top 20, or top 15 over the last 2 days. I think it's interesting in that because he had to finish a good part of his second round this morning, even though he's had the break here and a little bit longer break, obviously, because of the fact that he's going out in the last threesome, I still think there's a lot of difference between a 4-hour lunch break and a 24-hour overnight stay at the hotel. Now, in his case, it would be at home because he lives at the Woodlands, 30 miles from here or something. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think Migert, let's face it, he's the leader, but I think he's going to be a factor. But it's a pretty good looking board up there because Mickelson is very solid, and at 9-under is just primed. He's in the right place. You got Angel Cabrera, who's at 9-under, and some other neat stories.
Yeah, like Carl Pedersen. I think he's always underrated, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he was the along with Cabrera, the fractured clubhouse leader through the first day of playing. Greg Owen, and a great, you know, if you're a blue-collar lover, you got to love Tommy Gainey.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, John Ha.
Yeah, and John... Huh? Huh, what'd you say? You know, the worst thing... I mean, the most overused attempt at humor in the world.
I know.
And who did it first? Me.
Well, it's all, were you the first?
Hey, there is one story that isn't nice. Well, there's two, really. And they're both South African related. Now you throw in Oosthuizen, and you got all 3 South Africans with a theme of their own. You got Louis at the top, and then you got Mickelson played with couples and Charles Schwartzel first 2 days. So you had the last 2 Masters winners in the same threesome. Mickelson's up near the top. Couples is who he is, and poor Schwartzel struggled and missed the cut. Broke par, 1-under, but 2-under got it. In fact, they weren't too happy today because there was 69 guys at 3-under, and they just needed 1 more, and there'd only be 70 to play. And that never happened. So 2-under was the cut, and 90. 90 players.
90?
So that's why they're in threesomes.
And that's why they're in threesomes.
Yeah.
We have to have to wrap up the show, but your insights, as always, it's so much fun talking to you. I look forward to having you on the show every year. And I wanted to close with the Shell Houston Open. It's on television. If not already, it'll be about 9 o'clock in Hawaii. In about 30 minutes, we get to watch the action. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks. It's always fun, Danielle.
Aloha. And thank you to our sponsors, Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr., bordered by the Emerald Green Mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, ancient places of worship. That's the Heiau. Poipu Bay Golf Course. Alaka'i Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing and air conditioning. Sheet Metal. Hey, when you need a new roof or flashing or gutters, yeah, they do everything with Sheet Metal, including custom stainless steel counters. They will design them and make them for you. Alaka'i Mechanical. Star Protection for property threat risk assessment. Protection for your home or your business, for your concert or your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, what you need, both in Hawaii and in California. And thank you, of course, to Melanie Tantazera, True Vision Center. HawaiiGolfTravelNews.com, and you can always find us at RadioGolfClub.com, live or online. We keep our shows archived for you right there. So, in the meantime, have a great weekend. It's windy. May you hit the sweet spot every time. Thank you for your mana. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.